So we're still in Matthew 11. We'll be here for the next couple of weeks still. Slowly going through the yoke and burden, really trying to give you a better understanding of the historical context of Jesus' words there, how yoke and burden is being used. Because the better we understand the historical context, I think the better we can understand Jesus when he speaks. So this is just basic biblical hermeneutics. So the plan for today is, saints, it's to kind of recap what we touched on last week. Because last week our focus was on the word yoke. And I'll say a little bit more on the yoke and then touch on the historical use of the word burden there. And from there, after that, we'll kind of go to our breakout group. So that's the plan. But Holy Spirit, have your way. Okay, let me see. Are we doing Sunday school today, or are they just hanging out over there, the kids? Because I know Ez was, I believe, supposed to have Sunday school. Or they can just sit in here, or long as they don't, yeah. It's just, look, Annalia and Bella, so they should be fun. All right, saints, so back in Matthew 11 again. We're reading this very famous passage, going slowly through it, just understanding the historical context of Jesus' words. All right, so let's read verse 28 through 30 again and pray, and then we'll get into it. All right. I got my alarm on set to stop me from talking at a certain time. All right, let's read the verse. And the word of God reads, this is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus says these words here. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, which we touched on last week, what this word yoke means, and learn from me. He's talking about discipleship here. For I am gentle, meek, and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Eventually we'll get to that. I think next week we'll really dig into what he's getting at here with my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So saints, one thing I want to point out here is that if you notice, this is our third week here in Matthew 11. I know we did one here or the previous couple weeks, and then we did one back in 2025 at the end. And the point that I want you to see in that, or the reason that I'm bringing that up to you, is that there's a lot of food in just one to two verses. And so that's why we have just been slowly chewing here on Matthew 28 through 30. Why? Because there's a lot of food just in these couple of verses. And we don't want to just gobble up scripture. We're trying to slowly take our time here. We're trying to savor our food. We're trying to taste all of the flavors and all of the way that God had created this thing, you know, like a dish. And so that's why we're kind of slowly, meticulously going through this verse, looking at historical context and taking our time here. So sometimes you got to take small bites of scripture and just chew on it to get all that flavor out, you know? And so that's what we've been doing. So last week, saints, the focus was on the historical and contextual use of the word yoke here in Matthew 11. And so we were looking at how yoke is a technical term, or in a technical sense, yoke is a contraption, right, that brings two animals together, right, two oxen that are going to be walking in a field, right, to plow a field. That's what the yoke was there, to keep them walking straight together. But we also looked at how over the time, rabbinical Judaism took that yoke term and they adopted that yoke term to mean or to show one's commitment to God, right? One's commitment to Yahweh and the commandments found in the Old Testament. That was yoke, right? But more importantly for us, right, this term yoke was also used as a discipleship term. And that's the context here of Matthew 11. That's how Jesus is using this word yoke here. as a discipleship term. And so just a simple definition again, yoke was to accept a person. When you're taking on someone's yoke in this first century Jewish context, when you're taking on someone's yoke, you're taking on their interpretation of the Tanakh, which is the Old Testament, and their way of life, their halakha, the Jews would say, their way of life on how to live a life that is good and pleasing to God. That's what it means to take on someone's yoke. And so in the first century, as we've mentioned, there were two dominant thoughts on how to live a life that's well-pleasing to God, right? One came from the house of Hillel, and one came from the house of Shammai. So that's the context that Jesus is saying this here. Jesus is now entering into this conversation of Hillel and Shammai, and Jesus is jumping into the conversation and saying, basically, I hear what these guys are saying, but you should come unto me. Come unto me, take my yoke upon you. Come learn from me. I, Jesus, will show you the path of life. I, Jesus, will lead you to rest for your soul. So Jesus said, take my yoke upon yourself. Take on my interpretation of the Tanakh, the Old Testament. Take on my way of life. That's what it means to take on Jesus' yoke. I'm saying, Jesus, you got it right. You know the way of life. You are the path to life. You got it right. I know what Hillel and Shammai says, but Jesus, you got it right. So I'm taking on your yoke and I'm following your way of life. So that's taking on yoke. Again, the two major yokes at this time, again, were Hillel and Shammai, but Jesus is jumping into the argument saying to take on my yoke. Now, the other thing that I mentioned previously was that how in the world there's always people in society, in the world, trying to tell us what living looks like or how to live the best life. In the first century, you had Hillel and Shammai, but you can just go on YouTube or anywhere you look, there's always somebody trying to tell us how to live the best life or what a good life looks like or how to live your most best life now. There's always somebody with an opinion saying, I know the way. You go throughout history, for example, you had a person like Karl Marx. Some of my historians know who that is. People hear people saying, you're a Marxist, right? That's Karl Marx. He thought that the way to living life or to find the life was through economic forces. That if you can control these economic forces in society, people would then be able to live their best life. That's how you find life. You had also, I'm just trying to give you some examples of people who thought they knew the way to find life, the way to have the best life. You had Freud, the psychology guy. He thought he knew the way for life. His understanding for the way of life was to get rid of all of your conflicts, which are desire in your consciousness, and just kind of follow your passions. Just do what you want. If we did that, if we allow people to just follow their passions, then people would then live. Then we would produce the best society. People would really be having life. If we just allow them to just follow their passions and that conflict that they have with their conscience and their desires, just do whatever you feel, do what feels good, that will produce the best life for human, that will produce human flourishing, that will produce the best society. He thought he knew the way. And there's others in our world that say, okay, in order for society to have the best life, for people to thrive, in order for human flourishing, we need to get rid of the church, we need to get rid of God, we need to get rid of all of those rules and restrictions, and once we get rid of that, then that will produce the best society. That's when people will live. That's when people will have a life. Saints, all of these worldviews, all of these opinions that people have, from Karl Marx to Freud, to our political parties, to our political ideologies, from influencers on social media, all of them, do you realize this? All of them are metaphorically saying this. All of them are metaphorically saying, come unto me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I will show you the path of life. That's what all of them are metaphorically saying. Everybody has an opinion on how to have life. Everyone is saying to come unto me, to take my yoke. I'm going to show you how to find life, how to find happiness, how to find joy. Everyone has an opinion. See, I'm a YouTube guy, right? I'm a YouTube guy. And according to screen time, if you have an iPhone, you know what I mean when I say screen time. Screen time is that thing that tells you how long you've been on an app, right? So according to screen time, my favorite number one app is YouTube. And it is true. And on my feed in YouTube, guess what? There's always videos coming up in my feed of people telling me the way to life and living. They tell me that the way to life is financial freedom. Once you just get your financial freedom right, once you get your money right, then guess what? You will have life. So come unto me and I will show you the way. Come unto me. Take my yoke upon me. Come learn this financial freedom and you will find life. Or just come unto me. Take my yoke upon me. Come follow me and I will show you how to find life through eating better. If you just eat these right foods, if you just get real healthy, then you will find life and you will have human flourishing. Or come unto me. And just it's everything. Everyone in society seems to know the way. Come on to me. Just take these beauty standards upon you. And as you learn this, you will find life. Everyone seems to know the answer. Everyone in the world seems to know the way to a life of happiness and to a life of joy. But here's the thing that the social media people don't tell you. Here's the thing that people in the world that are famous and celebrities that they don't tell you. They don't tell you about the heavy burden that you have to carry if you follow them. They don't tell you about the heavy burden that comes if you take on their yoke. So you may find a social media person or a celebrity person who's telling you that, hey, I got riches and I can show you the way. Just come and take on my yoke and I'll show you how to get and amass all the success that I have. Just come and follow me. They tell you to come and follow me, but they don't tell you about the burden that comes when you take on their yoke. And let me give you an example of this. There are rappers in the streets now today, right? They entice the youth by glorifying the gang in street life. That's what you see with many of the rappers. They entice the youth to come to this street in gang life by making it look good and making it look and seem cool. They say, come take on this yoke. Come take on this street life. Come take on this toughness. But they don't rap about the burdens that come with taking on the yoke of the street life. They just talk about all the glorifying things. If you come and take on this yoke, if you come on and live this life, but they don't tell you about the burden that comes with taking on the yoke of the street life or the gang life. They don't tell you about the burden of you can't leave your house without your gun. They don't tell you about the burden how you have to stay military minded, always ready to kill because you got ops, you got enemy. They don't tell you about the burden of always having to look over your shoulders anytime you go off the side of the house. See, they're telling you to come and take on this yoke, but they don't tell you about the burden that comes with taking on that yoke. And that's what society does. They tell us to take on the yoke, but they don't tell us that there's actually a burden that comes with taking on the yoke. See, the beauty influencer that many of my youth, my daughters, all the teenagers, all the kids, many of the things that they look at, they don't tell you about the burden that comes with trying to look forever young. And how that beauty does nothing for the war going on inside of the soul. See, these are all heavy, heavy burdens that come from taking on the yoke of anyone outside of Jesus. There's a yoke for anything in this life that we try to take on and try to live our life outside of Jesus. There's going to be a yoke and burden that's too hard to bury, to carry. But here is gospel. Here is euangelion. The good news is this. Here's the good news and here's the grace and mercy of our God. That God seeing the burden that humanity carried from all of the yoke and burdens that they took on from other things. That God seeing the heavy shoulders that we as humanity have carried as we tried to look for someone in this life to lead us to the way of life. He seen us and he sent his son Jesus to show us that life. To show us that if you yoke up to Jesus, you will actually find true life and not have to carry this heavy burden. And that's the good news, saints. And I want to go here and say this. When we in a few weeks go out to evangelize and share the gospel with people, when you go and evangelize, you have to go there knowing that every person that you talk to, they are yoked to something and they are carrying a heavy burden from that yoke. And your goal, part of your goal is to identify what is that thing that they are yoked to and what is this heavy burden that they're carrying. And now you want to introduce them to a new yoke, an easy yoke, a lighter burden, which is Jesus Christ. Because everybody in this world has a yoke of something that they are yoked to, some burden that comes with that yoke that they're carrying. And they don't know about this Jesus Christ. They don't know about the easy yoke and the burden that we have in Jesus. So that's how all of this works together. God, in this good news, he sent us Jesus. He sent us the true person who can show us how to live life without taking on this heavy burden. And so that's why Jesus says here in Matthew 28, to come unto me, all who are weary. He's inviting all of those to come and take on the easy yoke. But not only does Jesus invite us to come and take on the easy yoke, but what I love about Jesus and what he does is he critiques those who have placed a heavy burden on the people of Israel. And this is going to lead us to me showing you what the word burden means. So I want to show you this critique that Jesus has of the burdens that people, the religious institution, would place on Israel. And I want to help you see what this word burden means when Jesus says that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So go with me to Luke 11:46. I want to show you something here. I said all of that to get us to this burden, because I want to give you a good definition of burden, then I'll split you off into your groups. Somebody give me Luke 11:46, and then somebody give me Matthew 23:4. Matthew 23:4. So I just need two people to get those verses, and I want to read them, and then I want to give you an example, and then I'll break into your groups.
But he said, woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh men down with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burden with one of your fingers.
Okay. So there Jesus is talking about those lawyers, those experts in the law, and he's talking about the burdens that they place on the religious community of Israel, the Jewish folks. Read Matthew 23, and I'm going to show you what they mean by burden, and then I'll give you an example, and this will all make sense. Go with me to Matthew 23, or somebody read Matthew 23:4 real quick.
They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger.
Amen. Okay. So there in those two verses there that I had you read, Jesus is critiquing the religious institution in Israel because they had laid so many burdens on the people. They laid so many things on the people. And what these burdens are is what I kind of want to show you, and I think this will help you to understand this actual word of what he means by burden. So Jesus here, again, he's critiquing the men in Israel because they're putting all of these extra rules and regulations on the people, and they're really making it hard to follow God. And so he's really critiquing them. And what I want to do now is I want to show you how that burden really looked. Because he just says here, you're laying burdens on people, but you should be saying, like, what type of burdens were they laying on people? What does that look like? And let me give you an example of what that means, to lay a heavy burden on someone. So let's just take the word Sabbath, okay? Let's take the subject of Sabbath. So if you recall from last week, remember there were two schools of thoughts in the first century Israel. You had Hillel and Shammai. Hillel had the more lenient interpretation of the Old Testament, the commandments of God. Shammai had the more conservative, more strict interpretations. So when it comes to this word subject of Sabbath, how you shouldn't work on a Sabbath, Israel had a question. When I say Israel, the people was like, okay, what does it mean to not work on a Sabbath? And the question would constantly come up is, how far can I actually walk or travel before I'm actually considered to be working? Or on a Sabbath, can I walk to my grandma's house or to my cousin's house? Or if I walk to the house, would I be considered work? These were like real questions that people had in Israel. Like, on a Sabbath, is it okay for me to walk across the street, or would that be considered work? And based on the rabbi that you yoked yourself up to, that's how you understood that verse. And if you had a rabbi with a hard yoke, like Shammai, if Shammai was your rabbi, and you yoked onto Shammai and his teaching, according to Shammai, because he had a stricter view, You literally had a certain limit of how far you could walk before it was considered work. So literally when the Sabbath day come, you will be walking around like this, wondering the whole time, like, okay, did I take too many steps? Is this work? Oh my goodness, I took too many steps, so this is considered travel. Oh no, God is now mad at me. Now I just broke the Lord's command. Like, that is how life would look if you took on the yoke of Shammai. That is a heavy burden that you would have to carry every Sabbath. You would have to go around literally almost counting your steps to make sure that I'm not walking too far, because if I walk too far, that's considered work or travel, and now I just violated the Sabbath. Now I'm not in great relationship with God, and now my rabbi, if he finds out, he's mad at me. So can you imagine if you are yoked up to this rabbi carrying this heavy yoke and this burden is just constantly weighing on you all the time? That would weigh on a person. That's what was happening. That is what Jesus was critiquing. These rabbis had these tough yokes that they were telling the people to bear, that they couldn't even enjoy the Sabbath. You're so concerned about violating the Sabbath that you couldn't find rest. And so the Sabbath became a burden for you. Why? Because I have to constantly think about, oh my goodness, did I walk too far? Did I violate Sabbath? Am I not pleasing God? So that's what I mean, or that's what Jesus means when he's critiquing these churches, or these institutions at the time, because they were just laying these heavy burdens on people of the Sabbath that they couldn't enjoy the Sabbath. And not only would you have to think about how far did I walk, you had to also eliminate anything that looked like work, including a good deed, which is why when you go to Mark 7, why the people were mad at Jesus when he healed the lame man on the Sabbath. They were mad because what Jesus did by healing a man on the Sabbath, it looked like work. And the people thought you couldn't do anything even good to people on a Sabbath. And so that's what I mean. That's what Jesus means by, like, you're burdening these people so much that they don't even know if they can do good on the Sabbath. And so Jesus comes in by saying, of course you can do good on the Sabbath. But at the time, these religious leaders had so burdened the people that they couldn't even rest on the Sabbath. They're constantly thinking about walking too far, making sure that I'm not doing anything that resembles work. And if I was yoked up to a tough rabbi, then I would have to carry the burden of his interpretation and live my life that way. That's the burden. That's what he means by taking on someone's yoke and the burden that comes from taking on that yoke. And so that is what Jesus was critiquing here in these verses in Luke 11 and Matthew 23. Let me give you another example. You had the purity standards, right, in Israel, where you didn't want to touch certain things because you didn't want to become what? Unclean, right? So imagine this. If you were yoked up to, if you were yoked up to Shammai, someone who had a strict interpretation, then you would walk around the whole time. You would have to be walking around making sure that, oh my goodness, is anyone unclean around me? You would have to keep your head on a swivel, constantly making sure that there's no one unclean around you. Oh my goodness, they're unclean. Oh, I touched this person. Now I'm defiled. And so the whole time you're walking, kind of like that gang member who's walking with his head on a swivel, always looking for his enemy, you're always walking around making sure there's somebody unclean over here, is there unclean? So what often happens is, if you were yoked up to a rabbi with a strict interpretation, you would find yourself oftentimes in isolation. Why? Because I didn't want to be contaminated by people, so I'll find myself just staying by myself because I want to avoid contamination. Again, that's what Jesus is critiquing, that stuff where you're putting these heavy burdens of, oh my goodness, I don't want to touch an unclean person. Oh my goodness, it's the Sabbath. Did I walk too far? And you're constantly finding no rest because you're thinking about, oh my goodness, I'm going to disobey God. I'm not going to have salvation. Oh my goodness, I touched this unclean person. Therefore, God thinks I'm unclean. Can you imagine the burden of living your life that way? That's the burden that Jesus is critiquing when he's saying to come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. They have been burdened by so many religious rules and instructions that they cannot find life. So Jesus is saying, come, drop the yoke of Hillel, drop the yoke of Shammai, drop the yoke of these people, and come and take on my yoke, my way of life. I will show you the path of life. That burden over there that's showing you, that's weighing you down. I'm offering you a different burden, a lighter burden than what they are saying. So that's the burden here when Jesus, oh, there goes my Lord. Sorry. That's my alarm for me to stop, and we're right at the right place. So that's how yoke and burden was used in this first century context. Just to summarize, yoke was the person's interpretation of the Tanakh and their way of life. The burden was the obedience required to take on someone yoke. So that's yoke, that's burden. Yoke interpretation, burden was the obedience required by taking on this person's yoke and this way of life. So that's the context of yoke and burden. So what we'll do next week is we'll dig into why Jesus said that his yoke and his burden is light, which you probably see why he said his yoke and his burden is light, but we'll get into it. But before we do that, I had to give you that historical context so that you know now when you see those terms, what they're talking about when they say yoke and burden. Amen. All right. So that being said, we're going to pause here. And now we're going to yoke up with Jesus as his disciples. We're going to go learn with Jesus on the mountain. Remember, this is a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has all his disciples next to him. So now you're going to take on the yoke of your rabbi, Jesus, your teacher. You're going to go with him up the mountain, and you're going to allow him to teach you about a particular subject. We all have our subjects, and let's learn from Jesus of what the blessed life looks like.